Good morning. I'm excited the way God has prepared our hearts this morning. He is ahead of all of us. Just in the songs that were chosen, even in the hymns Brother Ray shared with us, there's a line in I think it was 251, song 252. Oh, no, I can't find it. The first song that we sang, there was a line in there that said, "We come to you naked and you clothe us." And that fits with today. And there's the next song we sang, we asked, "Does Jesus care?" And that so fits with today. Today the title is God's Promises. And it so fits with the subtitle is Not to Worry. So if you could turn to Luke chapter 12, we continue with our study of Luke this morning. In Luke chapter 12, this is a passage that's near and dear to my heart, and it is by God's provision that I get to present to you this morning, this section of Scripture. I typically share from this Scripture from Matthew. In Matthew 6, there's a very, very parallel Scripture to this portion of Scripture in Luke 12. And I preached it years ago here, as my first, one of the first years or so I was a minister. And I got to share excerpts of this at the commencement to Fairview Christian this past year. So I really enjoy this section of Scripture. I was able to share this section at a family reunion. I had the Sunday morning service at a family reunion this past summer. So it was exciting to me to get to share this again with you. And it is starting in verse 22 of Luke chapter 12. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barns, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after you, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Dear God, give us the grace to hear from you this morning. Continue to work in our hearts. Continue to open our minds and our hearts to your word. May you speak through this scripture to us. And may we hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 22, he says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you.'" And of course, we need to find out what the therefore is for. And as we look back at the last few sections of Scripture that we studied in the last previous 2 weeks, when Luke preached in verse 11 of chapter 12, it says, "Now when they bring you to the magistrates and the synagogues and authorities, do not worry about what you should say or should answer." Jesus is telling us not to worry on the spiritual front of things, not to worry about what to say. And then Brother Dave brought to us last week, he says, "Take heed, beware of covetousness." And at the end of verse 21, it says, so is he who lays up for himself and is not rich towards God," speaking about the rich ruler that gathered everything in the barns and had everything stored up, and then his life was taken from him. So he says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." And so in light of these two things, we're not supposed to worry about our spiritual confrontation. When people ask us about our spiritual life, God will provide answers for us. We're not supposed to covet. That's careful. That's hard to say. But we're not supposed to covet. And we're not supposed to amass great piles of wealth just for ourselves and hoard it to ourselves. And so in light of all that, he says, therefore I say to you in verse 22, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Therefore, do not worry. And I think the point that Jesus is trying to make here is verse 23. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Jesus wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember that life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Now, we know it in our minds, and we can say it, and we can believe it. But he wants us to remember it deep in our hearts, that this life is more than food, and our body is more than clothing. And you see, the key to these sections of scriptures is that Jesus knows us, and he knows you probably better than you know yourself. He knows you. And in order for you to really grasp this fact, that your life is more than food and your body is more than clothing, Jesus paints word pictures for us. And he takes examples for us because he wants to hammer this into our hearts so that we know, and that we know in our minds and we know in our hearts, that life is more than food. And you can go to fancy seminars and you can pay somebody a lot of money to help you remember things. And if you go to fancy seminars, they will tell you to associate pictures in your minds with words, so that when you go to the grocery store and you have a list of things, of sugar and flour and whatever you have to buy, well, then the person that you pay a lot of money for will tell you in a seminar that you're supposed to make a word picture about the sugar, and you're supposed to make a word picture about the flour, so that you can remember that when you get to the store. And it works. But Jesus knew that long before, and you don't have to pay anybody to figure that out. And he begins to use those examples to us this morning, and he lays out pictures for us to remember that our life is more than food and our body is more than clothes. And he begins with his word picture in verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barns, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And Jesus tells us again that the birds don't plant and that the birds don't store up. They don't gather away for the winter. The birds don't make any provision for their food. And you know what happens if you don't feed the birds in the wintertime? I know a lot of people like to feed the birds in the wintertime. But you know what happens when you don't feed the birds in the wintertime? Nothing happens. See, who feeds the birds? It says right here, God feeds the birds. It says God feeds the birds. There's a lot of birds out there. In our house in the fall, we see blackbirds, and they flock together, and they form a cylinder. It looks like a cylinder of a mass of birds, and they will stretch from horizon to horizon, and they will flutter down into our yard and then flutter up and keep going. And the flock is continuing, but they just touch down, and then they go to a cornfield and they touch down and keep going. And it's like a huge column of birds in their migration. And it's so many birds that we can hear them inside our house. We hear them, their wings, you can hear inside. That's how many birds flock up and fly through our neighborhood. And of course, that's followed by the little, you know, the BB gun. But yeah, it's a highlight of the fall around our house. But there is a lot of birds. And as you're in nature, and you spend time in the woods, you see a lot of birds. And as you see in the springtime, you hear the birds and you see the birds. And you know, I haven't seen any starving birds. Have you seen a starving bird? I mean, there's a lot of birds. Haven't we just seen maybe one starving wild bird? I spent a lot of time outside, and I have not come across a starving wild bird. You see, God feeds them. And when we think about all the wild birds, read the last line in this verse again. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Of how much more value are you than the birds? Again, this is Jesus talking, and he's talking to you this morning. And he uses the word you. Read it and hear it. Let him speak to you this morning. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Jesus uses the word picture and the example of the birds to show that God cares for us. God cares for you. And Jesus uses value and worth in God's sight to combat worry in our sight. Did you catch that? Jesus uses value and worth in God's sight to combat worry in your sight. And which of you in verse 25, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Can you worry yourself taller? And if you're tall, can you worry yourself shorter? What does worry do? That's an excellent question. What does worry do? Does worry do anything? I don't think it does anything. Worry does nothing. Worry accomplishes nothing. It seems futile, and yet we so like to worry, but it really doesn't do anything. Worry accomplishes nothing. Nothing happens positive when you worry. In fact, in today's life of multiple medical studies, it is a proven fact that there are adverse health effects to those who do worry. But on the positive front, worry accomplishes nothing. Worry does not even make you feel better. And so he says in verse 26, if you are not able to do the least, which is worry yourself a little taller, if you're not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? If you can't worry yourself just a little taller, why worry about anything else, is what Jesus is asking us. Worry does not work. Worry changes nothing. Worry cannot change your stature, your height. And this verse says that changing your height is the least of things. Changing your height is the least of things. And I think that Jesus adds this line here to remind us again that it is he who made us. And God wants you just the way you are. The exact height you are, or the exact shortness, he made you just the way you are. God made you that way. Who are you who would want to change what God has made? Who are you who would want to change what God has made? Worrying about it won't change it. And I think that the root of this challenge by Jesus is really, why would we want to change what God made? You see, what happens when you are accepting of the way God made you? What happens when you're accepting of the way God made you? What happens at the place where you are thankful for the way you are made? You know what happens? Worry is not in that place. When you are thankful for the way God made you, worry is not there. There is peace and acceptance and love for your Creator, Father God. When you are happy with the way God made you. Verse 27. Consider the lilies. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus gives us another word picture. Again, so that we remember not to worry. He used the birds, and now he's using the flowers, the lily. And Jesus says, consider the lilies. The beauty and the delicacies of just one lily outweighs all of Solomon's glory. And I said, well, now that can't be. But read it again, verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon had a lot of glory. He was the richest man in history, and the richest man to date. And yet, Jesus says that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. You see, a lily does not work to make its clothes. A lily does not get better or more beautiful. A lily springs up beautifully with no work and no worry. A lily just opens in all of its beauty. And a lily is very delicate. A lot of the beauty that I see in a lily is in its delicate form. A lily is very fragile. It's a beautiful detailed flower, and it's perched atop of a stem that can barely hold it. It's a very slender, skinny, if you will, stem compared to the size of the flower. And the whole creation with the stem and the petals and the inner tiny stems in the middle of the petals, the whole flower almost defies science as it holds itself up on a small stem. And certainly it defies all building codes. I don't know how he did it. And God put all of that beauty and all of that delicacy into a flower that springs up and dies almost as fast as it grows. The detail is staggering that God puts forth into one lily, and yet it dies as fast as it grows. And Jesus says to us in verse 28, if then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? If God would spend so much effort on such a short-lived little flower, will he not care for you? And Jesus really brings this home here at the end of this verse. O you of little faith. I see faith. Now, I might be wrong. This is my quick observation. You can tell me afterwards that I'm wrong on this one. But I observe faith as the opposite of worry. You could redefine that a little differently, but I see that as the opposite of worry. How about this statement? Would you agree with this? Those who have great faith have few worries. Those who have great faith have few worries. I can kind of connect to that. I can kind of say, yeah, I can agree to that. Those who have great faith have few worries. What about this statement? And this one's a little tougher. It's just the opposite of the one I said. Those with lots of worry have little faith. That kind of hurts a little more, doesn't it? Those with lots of worry have little faith. You see, we tend to separate faith and the physical. That's our natural bent. We tend to think that It's okay to worry about physical things like health and wealth and safety. We tend to think faith is for church. But Jesus here in this verse calls each of us to greater faith. When he said, if God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, when I hear the birds and when I see the flowers, just the little wildflowers in the ditch going down the road in the summertime, when I see the flowers and when I hear the birds, I see God's promises and I hear God's promises. Do you feel his promises? When you see the birds and when you see the flowers, because they are his promises to you. I know you can work and you can cultivate and you can plant bulbs and you can do all kinds of neat things to make beautiful flowers. And that's wonderful. And God can cause them to grow there. He can cause flowers to grow in the ditch. He can put flowers in the woods. I've seen little daylilies come out of the woods. Doesn't really matter. And all of those flowers and all of their detail are a promise to you that he cares for you. And all of the birds, the way that he feeds them, is a reminder to you that God cares for you. So many times, I think we miss his everyday little promises. In verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. And in the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 6, the author says in Matthew, he adds, you shouldn't worry about what you eat or drink or what you should wear. And Luke here says, have an anxious mind. Anxiousness. Anxiousness is the next step past worry. When you become anxious and have anxiety, that's the next thing past worry. And Jesus says, do not have an anxious mind. In verse 30, it says, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. What things is he talking about? Well, it says here in verse 29, do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink or have an anxious mind. And Matthew adds what you should wear. Do not seek after those things. Because in verse 30, it says, for these things the nations of the world seek after. And brothers and sisters, that is so true. Do you know how much money, and I don't, but there is untold millions of dollars spent on TV commercials alone telling you what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. Because the world seeks those things. They seek, what do we eat? What do we wear? What do we drink? Millions and millions and millions of dollars are thrown at that, trying to lure you to eat, drink, or wear something. The world seeks after those things. You know, the world uses those things, what you eat and what you drink and what you wear. The world uses those things to measure a person. The world uses those things, what you can afford to drink, what you can afford to wear, what you can afford to eat. You are classed by how much money you can spend to go out to eat. Hopefully we don't do that. But the world looks that way at people. And they measure you by what you can afford to eat, drink, and wear. And Jesus says, what? Don't seek after these things, the world does. And then he adds at the end of verse 30, and your father knows that you need these things. God knows that you need these things. God knows that you need food and drink and clothes. God knows. That should give you some sort of calm assurance. Because there may have been times, and there maybe is times, that you're uncertain. Does God know what I need? Yes, he does. Does God know that I'm in trouble here? Yes, he does. It says in verse 30 that your father knows you need these things. And Jesus says, do not seek after these things. God knows you need them already. Again, he continues to calm our worries. And in verse 31, Jesus says, but seek the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added to you. And Jesus uses the same word here, seek, in telling us to seek the kingdom of God. In the same way that he said not to seek, what do we eat, what do we drink, and what do we wear? He used the same word. Now we know how to seek, what to eat and drink and wear. But seeking the kingdom of God is a little different matter. We can seek the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God isn't something we really grasp here on earth. The kingdom of God is for the other side, is for heaven, is the true kingdom of God. We never really obtain the kingdom of God when we seek it. We can get closer to it and we can emulate Christ in ourselves, but the kingdom of God is not something that we really obtain. And I think Jesus uses the same word here when he tells us to seek the kingdom of God. And the same word where he says not to seek after what we eat and what we drink and what we wear. Because the seeking after what we eat and what we wear and what we drink does not really fulfill us. It is empty and it is grasping. It is seeking and not finding. It is futile to seek after things of what we eat and what we drink and what we wear. Those things are never satisfying. They're empty. In verse 32. I skipped one part of my notes here. Sorry. At the end of verse 31. After these things shall be added to you. And these things shall be added to you. When you seek God and his kingdom first, God provides what you need to accomplish his will in your life. When you seek God's kingdom first, he provides your needs. God provides for you. And when God provides for you, it is peaceful and worry-free. In verse 32, it says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And again, Jesus knows exactly how to challenge us the most. He says, do not fear. Fear is what comes after anxiety and anxiousness. Anxiousness is what comes after worry. And Jesus says for us not to fear, not to be anxious. And he adds here, do not fear. In verse 33, Jesus says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. Again, in verse 33, Jesus knows us so well. It really should not surprise us how well he knows us. He knows us so well because he made us. He constructed us. He knows how we think. Jesus knows how we feel. Jesus knows how we act when we acquire wealth. Jesus knows what it does to us when we gather things to ourselves. You see, when we acquire wealth and we kind of keep it into ourselves, our natural response, and again, Jesus knows because he made us, is to worry, is to get anxious, it is to fear. Because why? We're worried it's going to fail. Jesus says, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Because when we acquire things to ourselves, we are worried that it will fail. Whether it's the stock market or if it's precious metals or real estate, capital ventures, they all are volatile and can fail. You see, our humanness, our God-made humanness, our tendencies are to worry when we have an abundance of goods. When we collect things that are ours, we begin to worry about thieves. We do. It's our natural tendency. We worry somebody else is going to come take them. Whether it's in silver or gold or blued steel, when you acquire an abundance of things, you worry about thieves breaking in. It's a natural thought process. And Jesus knows how we think. Jesus knows what we think. And see, now if you're sitting out there cross-armed feeling like, okay, what's this guy saying? I'm not saying anything other than this is true. And I can stand up and proclaim it and be excited that God's word is true and that Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows your tendencies. And just like Dave shared with us last week on covetousness, there is no prescribed cure. It is between you and your Lord. And if you are feeling like I'm talking to you about your possessions, I'm not. Maybe God is. He has the right to. But you need to determine between yourself and your Lord, what is God speaking to you regarding your possessions? But I am unashamed to say this is truth. And it is so true in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And God knows that. He knows that. He knows that because he made you. And it is so our tendency to pull things to ourselves and call them ours and to call them mine and to acquire wealth. But be careful, because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And it is truth. And then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that it is alive and it is real again. Bury these truths deep into our hearts Help us understand again how much you know us, how much you love us, how much of you you have made in us. We thank you for the way you have blessed us with your word. Pray that it would continue to be a fire in our soul. Give us a desire for your word. Help us to understand you in new and greater ways. Help us, dear God, not to worry. Help us not to be anxious. Help us to provide for ourselves money bags that do not grow old. Give us a desire for your kingdom, that we would be able to seek it first. We thank you for your promises and your word, how you provide for us. Help us to remember your promises as we see the birds and as we see the flowers. In Jesus' name, amen.